Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Midlothian Council Audit Committee. Thank you for appointing me to this position. Before we go any further, I'll ask if there are any apologies.
Chair, we have an apology from Councillor Parry.
Thank you very much. Brief introductions, perhaps, around the table so we all know who's who. I'll start with myself, Mike Ramsey. I've just recently been appointed to this position. Thank you for trusting me with this. I've had 35 years in banking, looking at a whole load of accounts for companies, trusts, charities, but this is the first time I'm really looking closely at local authority accounts, and I must admit I've had a headache as a result of getting to grips with this, but hopefully it will become clear as the process goes forward.
Kenneth Laurie, Chief Executive.
Gary Fairley, Head of Finance and Integrated Service Support, Section 95 Officer, so I suppose I've got a bit of a permanent headache.
Stephen Reid, Partner with EY and the Council's appointed External Auditor.
John Boyd, Senior Manager, EY.
John Blair, Director of Resources.
Councillor Derek Mulligan, Council Leader.
Councillor Jim Muirhead, Councillor Deputy Leader and the responsibility for education, children and families on the Cabinet.
Councillor Kenneth Baird, SNP.
Councillor Peter Smail, Conservative Councillor for Midlothian East and former Chairman of this committee.
Councillor Andrew Hardy, Conservative Councillor for Pennycook.
Elaine Grease, Internal Audit Manager.
Mike Broadway, Clerk.
Thank you very much. Item two on the agenda, are there any notices of extra business?
The order of business is as printed in the chair. I'll try that again. The order of business is as printed in the agenda, Chair. Perhaps I should mention at this point, obviously, with the late circulation of papers, I take it you're happy to accept them and deal with the business before us today.
I am. Any objections? No. Good. Declarations of interest? None. Thank you. Minutes of the previous meeting. Have these all been read? If there are any matters arising, or could I have a proposer? And a seconder, please. We'll accept those. Thank you. Public reports. The first one is from Stephen Reid of Ernst & Young, the annual audit report. I'll ask Stephen to introduce that.
Thank you, Chair. Our annual audit report here before the committee today summarises the results of the external audit of the Council for the year ended 31st of March 2017. And it essentially brings to a close our audit work for the year. Members will recall that we presented an audit plan earlier in the year which set out the areas of focus for our audit, and this plan, this report very much reports back on those areas. Our report is comprehensive, and it's required. And the reason for that is that it's required to meet the needs of both yourselves as members of the audit committee, but also the Controller of Audit and Audit Scotland, and reflects the new responsibilities placed upon me as the appointed auditor in respect of Audit Scotland's new Code of Audit Practice. The report, Chair, essentially falls into three parts. Part one summarises my consideration of the financial statements of the Council. Then we move on to the wider scope requirements of public sector audit, where I provide consideration around financial management, financial sustainability, governance and transparency, and value for money. And then finally, within the appendices of the report, it sets out matters for the record, such as confirmation of my independence and therefore my ability to act as the Council's external auditor. The executive summary at the beginning of the report highlights the key messages and pulls them together. Clearly, throughout the report, I also highlight conclusions and key messages pertaining to each section. As members will be aware, 2016-17 was the first year of EY's appointment as external auditor to the Council. And clearly, a new auditor brings new challenges, fresh challenges, but also fresh insight. I think it's recognised that the change in auditor has inevitably been challenging because there have been new questions asked, and indeed in any year one of a new audit engagement, it's not unusual to experience that. Having said that, in relation to the financial statements, I can confirm that I do intend to issue an unqualified opinion following approval and signing of the financial statements by the Council. Overall, the financial statements were prepared in accordance with the statutory requirements, but they did require presentational and disclosure adjustments. None of those adjustments had an impact on the overall general fund, however. I have recommended in the report that going forward there's an increased focus by management required to ensure the accuracy and completeness of the financial statements prior to publication for public consultation. There are also a number of significant matters to report in respect to the financial statements, including specifically a number of errors in the valuation of property, plant and equipment, resulting in a net adjustment of around £7.8 million. And then the net cost of services with gross income and expenditure being understated by around £43 million. Through the audit work, also identified an audit adjustment in respect of the Council's obligations to the Scottish Government in respect of Borders Railway Agreement, and this resulted in the correction of the prior year financial statements. In addition, management also represented the financial statements to reflect the clarification received of accounting treatment of grant income. There are two unadjusted audit differences which management have concluded are not material for the financial statements, one in relation to HRA and the other one in relation to in-year transactions for the Borders Railway. I'm content that those are not material, and I'm content that those remain unadjusted. Moving then on, Chair, to the wider scope audit. While I consider the financial management arrangements have been enhanced within the Council, there continues to be more to do, especially in how the Council reports progress on the delivery of the transformational change programme going forward. Clearly, a statement of the obvious, but robust financial management arrangements are critical. During 16-17, I note that the Council failed to operate within budget, primarily due to the non-delivery of transformational savings and demand pressures within health and social care. In 15-16, the Council services also failed to meet budget. As we're all aware, there are significant financial challenges facing the Council over the next 5 years, with a budget funding gap in the region of £44.9 million currently up to the period 2021-22. In addition to what I've said about delivery, the uncommitted general fund is also at its lowest levels for a number of years. In addition, since 2010, the Council has required to deliver around £32 million of savings, £7 million of that as part of 17-18. And given what has been required to date and the need to deliver significant savings in the future, including the inability to deliver savings in 16-17, management do recognise that this is a concern for the Council. There's clearly an urgent need, and I highlight again in the report, to complete the process of identification of savings plans, evaluate these to ensure there's alignment with member priorities, including the completion of public consultation and thereafter approval and implementation of these. As part of what we've also recommended in the report, management has agreed to bring together and to consolidate a number of the different programmes around transformation and delivering change to enhance reporting, oversight and scrutiny. Given the significance of the matters in the report, Chair, I've made two Grade 1 recommendations, and these are set out within the action plan. In terms of governance, there's a comprehensive framework in place, and also in respect of governance, I recognise the work that management has done around multi-year indicative budgets, and I do consider that to be good practice in line with the views of the Accounts Commission. I've also highlighted that there are opportunities to enhance the role of internal audit, given my earlier commentary around the urgent need for transformation. In respect of value for money, the final area of the wider scope areas of public audit, I didn't identify any recommendations in respect to the Council's arrangements, though would note that over the five-year period of the appointment and in line with the indicative best value plan that's set out within the report, I would intend that we look further at that area as part of 2018-19. Overall, there are 12 recommendations within the report. They're set out within the action plan, and management has provided responses to our recommendations in the action plan. Before opening up to questions, Chair, I'd just like to conclude by thanking officers across the Council for their support and allowing me to discharge my obligations to complete the audit for the year. I think I am positive in terms of, despite there's been a number of discussions and debates around, the relationship is positive, constructive and yet challenging, and I'd like to extend my thanks to officers for that. Very happy to take questions, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Reid. Members, do you have any questions?
Could I kick off with a couple of small typos? Page 37, where you talk in the Housing Capital Programme about the Council received additional subsidiary from the Scottish Government. I think you mean subsidy. The second paragraph from the bottom. Just a spell check thing. The other one, which I must say is one of the more amusing ones of recent years, where on page 39 you talk about the composition of the Council, you say the Labour Party formed a minatory administration. They certainly do act in a minatory way from time to time, warning us of what will come, but I think you meant minority. Looking at the position more generally, one debate we are having with the Section 95 officer is the very considerable expansion of the Council's short-term cash assets, which have now, I believe, reached 95 million and were about 83 million at the time of the audit. In March 2016, these were expected to be more of the order of 55 million. So we're running a very large book. And it is perhaps unusual for councillors to have to explain to their constituents that while our reserves on the general account are now only 2.25 million, we actually have 95 million of cash and near cash assets at our disposal. These are considered to be at no risk, which perhaps is a questionable assumption in view of CDS pricing for such instruments. You don't seem to make much comment except to say that we conform to the CITFA guidelines, and I think I accept that is the case. What seems to me to have happened here is because we have such a high level of expectation of capital expenditure in Midlothian, under the CITFA rules, the Section 95 officer quite properly is able to go to the money markets and to put very substantial sums on deposit. However, it strikes me that we may, by following the rules, have ended up in an abnormal position. I wanted to know whether you could, as EY, consider this scenario and perhaps give us some comfort that the Council is not doing anything it should not.
Thank you, Councillor. In terms of the report, I should have said the report is issued in draft. I'm very grateful for the spelling corrections. We'll take those away and clearly update. The report will be finalised once the accounts are finalised, and that's the normal form, so I'm grateful for that. In terms of the strategy, treasury management strategy, I guess, of the council, I was concerned this year, in the first year of her appointment, to ensure that there was a strategy in place and that it was in line with the expectations and the guidance, and that that was subject to consideration and reporting of performance against that strategy. So in this year of the audit, that was my responsibility, and I've concluded in the report that I'm content with that. I am conscious that the treasury management and the approach to treasury management within the council has been subject to debate or discussion at this meeting in the past. And I guess my observations around that would be clearly there may be a role, and it may be something for officers and members to consider in relation to the degree of exposure the audit committee receives in the context of the treasury management strategy and compliance of officers with the council's approved strategy. And secondly, I don't have the detail in terms of giving a response around some of the comparative analysis, but I am conscious that Audit Scotland will be issuing, as they do on an annual basis, their 2017 overview report of local government finances. And it may be at that stage that officers, you might want to ask officers to carry out some comparative analysis or build on the comparative analysis that will be included in that report from all Scotland's 32 local authorities.
I'd appreciate that comparison very much. My understanding is, in general, the Scottish authorities' indebtedness is represented roughly 10% in cash and short-term instruments, and here we're probably up at about 25%. So I think we are outside the norm for our peer group, but great, more data on that, either through yourselves or Audit Scotland, would be appreciated. Can I, Chairman, raise another point? One of the items that jumped out here was that our pension deficit has shot up, and when I looked at the Accounts Commission comparators, Midlothian peculiarly had one of the smallest pension deficits as a percentage of our turnover of any Scottish council. So I began to wonder whether, quite apart from the question of discount rates, there has been some problem with recognising the full extent of our pension obligation.
Chair, thank you. We reference in two places within the report, one, the totality of the increase in the pension liabilities, and then also further on in the report, the ratio of pension liability to net revenue and the comparative piece. I can only comment in the context of what we see across local government at this time, and that very much is a worsening generally of the pension liability. Based on the actuarial work that's been undertaken and the review of that actuarial work by my own internal actuarial specialists, the main driver for the worsening in the overall liability, not just here but across Scottish local government, local government generally, is around the discount rate and the reduction in the discount rate, which has driven the liability up.
So there's been no fundamental reassessment of our pension obligation other than the application of actuarial techniques using that discount rate?
Yes, and clearly the change in the external environment, as I highlight in the report, has driven a change in those assumptions, key one being discount rate.
Thank you. Any other points to be raised? In which case, I think we move on to the item 5.2. Mr. Fairley.
Thanks, Chair. This report presents the Council the audited financial statements and provides an overview of the main changes made during the audit process, which colleagues from EY have touched on earlier. Just as background, the accounts were completed and the unaudited accounts were completed and submitted by the statutory 30th of June, and we now expect to sign the audited accounts after audit committee on the 28th, with the audit certificate signed on Friday, and then those audited accounts be submitted to Audit Scotland. As Stephen says, we expect a clean audit certificate for the year, albeit we recognise there were several adjustments that have been touched on earlier in the meeting. I think it's important to stress those adjustments, while the impact on the financial statements themselves don't change the financial performance in respect of general fund or housing revenue account, those balances are still as published when we brought the unaudited accounts to Council back in June. There is a change on the capital fund balance, but that's not expected to have an impact because of the revised treatment will result in a corresponding reduction in loan charges, which would offset any impact. We've touched on the prior year restatement around Borders Rail, an issue that came up quite late in the towards the end of the audit process, and I think we've responded as that to the challenge that presented and adjusted the accounts accordingly and agreed the treatment with audit colleagues. I think the important thing to recognise is, although we have a liability to Transport Scotland through the Borders Rail Agreement, that is significant amount of that is already secured through legally binding Section 75 agreements, with the remainder secured through the sites identified in the local development plan, indeed the local development plan agreed earlier today by Council. And development on those sites will require a further contribution towards that liability. Today, Chair, we're asking Audit Committee to consider and approve the audited financial statements, which will allow them to be completed, signed and submitted by the end of the week. Happy to take any questions on the accounts themselves, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Fairley. Any questions?
Just simply to emphasise the evidence that we have had a very active Treasury function in the period. If you look at page 79, under the cash flow statement, our repayment of short and long-term borrowing has risen from 217.7 million the prior year to 408.9 million. Now, I realise this is a sort of in-and-out situation, but there will be some frictional costs involved here. I just wondered if you could talk about the scale of the frictional costs in this active Treasury policy and where you book the frictional costs of continuously taking deposits and making repayments.
I suppose, my understanding, the frictional cost would come really in three parts. The banking costs associated with the transaction flows, the potential for payment to brokerage fees, which are and the staff time involved. Those are verging on the immaterial compared with the difference in the benefits of, in accordance with the strategy of borrowing short-term rates that are a fraction of a percent versus, and I think this morning the PWLB 50-year money was 2.5%. So a significant benefit of continuing to borrow short-term from other local authorities, other public sector organisations, compared with locking into to long-term borrowing. Clearly the risk associated with that is we miss the opportune time to borrow long-term, but that's part of the active Treasury management that we've got. To what Treasury management's done, and it doesn't come out in the financial statements, but you will see it in the monitoring reports, is it's bringing a contribution to the general fund, to the revenue budget, and easing some of the pressures, and indeed will avoid savings of a greater magnitude than might otherwise have been the case if we didn't have that active Treasury management policy.
Thank you. I think I noted that the effective borrowing rate for the Council is one of the lowest on mainland Scotland. Presumably, is that as a result of the Treasury management we've been discussing?
Indeed, yeah, we've for some considerable time been either the lowest or amongst the lowest in mainland Scotland. And the lower the rate on our financing, our capital borrowing, the less pressure that adds to the revenue budget. So it's a good place to be.
Thank you. Any other questions from members? Mr. Rory.
I suppose just to say that, and this relates really to both reports in front of us today, the important press to me as Chief Executive, just to kind of recognise and acknowledge the very significant comments made about financial sustainability, and also looking at the accounts, the issues in relation to both overspend and reserves. Now, I think in terms of Stephen's introduction, it's, you know, that was made very clear, that matter of the criticality of the position we face in relation to financial sustainability. But I suppose I just wouldn't want this audit committee to pass without, you know, certainly for my own part, recognising that fact and our you know, resolve to, you know, work hard, both in terms of the future transformation programme and in some of the more immediate actions we need to take to deal with that challenge.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. It's certainly something that, in my early reading of this, as focused as the main issues that the Council faces over the next few years. And I think we should, as a committee, be looking at those and reinforcing management's hand in delivering what savings they can whilst providing the services they are obliged to. Can I ask members if we're happy to note and approve the signing of these accounts? There seems to be no dissent. On the agenda, there's private reports. There are no private reports to discuss. There is no any other business, as far as I'm aware.
No.
If members have nothing to raise, in that case, meeting concluded. Thank you very much for your time.